Let your heart shine bright. Let us take you to what is right. Let your heart shine bright. Let us take you to what is right.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور
الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله
My dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madni Channel, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, we join again in tonight with Madni Channel. And today's topic is a very, very important one. But before we start, there are many blessings of reciting through the Park of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Just imagine seeing your place in Jannah before you departed from this world. And what if somebody said that I could give you a Madni pearl, which if you acted upon, then you would see your place before you left this world. With that in mind, listen to this beautiful hadith in Mubarak. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said that whoever recites Durood-e Pak upon me 1,000 times a day will not die until he sees his place in Jannah.
Subhanallah.
Maybe it'll take 12 minutes a day, but you can guarantee that before you depart from this world, not only through the blessings of Durood-e Pak that you'll be granted Jannah, but you will see your place also. Sallu alal Habib.
Sallallahu ta'ala
ala Muhammad sallallahu
alayhi wa sallam.
Now, dear viewers of Madni Channel, today the topic is a very special one because it's close to our hearts. We're born with certain qualities in this world, and as we grow, our characters take a shape or form. Now, all around the world, character is very important. And the world recognizes that. And everybody tries to gain a character which is high and moral. And Islam gives us the highest and the best moral character. And Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam blessed this world with the greatest of character that anybody could have. And the amazing character of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showed the world how we should truly behave. And one of the fundamental things that Akka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us was not to live a life of selfishness. To rise above your surroundings. To be bigger. To have a broader thought. Today, unfortunately, we are all affected by a disease. And that disease is a very simple one. And it goes a little like this. Me, my family, my home, my car, my children, my respect, my dignity. In the morning it's me, in the afternoon it's me, in the evening it's me. I'm the best. I don't care about others. My brothers and sisters don't matter. My parents don't matter. Life revolves around me having everything I want. And that's it. And we live a life of total selfishness. Nobility, great character, caring, love, generosity have unfortunately disappeared from our society. And our life evolves around my desires and me being important. So today, I've got our Hafiz Saab here, and we're going to take some Madni pearls from Hafiz Saab on this very important topic, because we are duty bound through our lives to reform our character to please Allah and His beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not to please our inner self, our nafs. And we started this journey, and some of us, even when we recognized it, we didn't get far down the path. But the bitter irony is, and the disappointment is, that a lot of us, we didn't even look at this as a journey of the character. Allahu Akbar. Hafiz Saab, welcome to the Silsila, tonight with Madni Channel. a very important topic, and mashallah, you are the one who chose this beautiful topic, because may Allah reward you. It's a very, very important topic. And before I ask you why, what made you choose this, I want you also to answer that question, but also tell us that why it is so important in Islam that we don't be selfish.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. As-salatu wassalamu alayka ya Rasulullah. Jazakallah harumbi, mashallah azawajal. Why I chose this topic is because we see in quite a lot of this in our community today. And if you look at the seerah, the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he didn't live for himself, he lived for his people. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, this is what we hear from Amir al-Sunnah, Ghame Ummat. Ghame Ummat means that you have that gham, that love for the Ummat of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. If you look at the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she narrates that one night the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was with me. And late at night, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he stood up and he stood for salah. And I could see the blessed tears flowing from the eyes of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and falling to his blessed beard. And when he finished his salah, I said, Ya Rasulullah, may my parents be sacrificed on you. Why were you crying? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, Oh Aisha, the thought of my ummah was making me cry. Allah. What's going to happen to them on the day of judgment, the pool of sirat? Now if you look at it, our Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam, all the time, he would worry about their ummah. He would always cry for the ummah. He would make dua for his ummah. And you know, today if we look at our lives today, we worry about ourselves. When we make dua, we got to make dua for ourselves. We forget about our families, our parents. You know, that's what you call selfishness. Now this is in ibadah, where we are being selfish in ibadat. Halanke in the Quran, Allah Ta'ala, He mentions that, you know, they make dua and I will accept your prayers. And also, you know, from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's life, the life of the Sahaba ikram, we need to think about other people as well. Rather, at this moment of time, it's all about me. It's all about me, you know, I've got to have this, I've got to do this, you know, I've got to look beautiful, I've got to be talking best. So it's nothing about other people. Halanke the Sahaba ikram, they used to be about other people.
Are we really slaves of our nafs then? Are we started to totally ignore the world around us? And, you know, if I'm happy, say you're suffering, but if I'm happy, I've got everything, then I'm not bothered about you. Why don't I care about you anymore? You know, society in general was all about brotherhood, Islamic society. You look at the lives of the Sahaba Ikram, you know, they cared about each other to the extent that they gave others that which they needed.
Yeah.
Today, why am I not willing to give you what I don't even need? You know, even if it's something spare, I'd rather it go to waste than give it to you. Why? The glorious Quran again, verse 128, Surah Nisa, translation from Qanzul Iman, and the heart is trapped in greed.
Allahu Akbar.
Isn't that the essence of it? That basically, my desires, my greed, I can't fulfill it, so why should I be thinking about you? If I've got 10 pairs of shoes and 15 pairs of jackets, yeah, and I, you know, that isn't enough. If somebody's walking along without a jacket or without any shoes, why should I donate to them? Because my heart's saying I've not got enough. Why is it though, when we know that we can't take that with us?
So the thing is, yeah, okay, if we say that, okay, because I need it for my, where you get the reward, where you get the thawab, is when you give your beloved things. لَن تَنَالُوا بِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. What you like for yourself, you give it to other people. You know, have we not heard of that beautiful waqia of Hasanain Kareemain and Sayyida Fatima, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu? They were fasting and they had very little food to eat. And as they were sat down to open their fast, they heard a knock on the door. And what happened was it was a traveler, and he says, I've been traveling, I don't have food, please give me something to eat. So whatever they had cooked at home, they gave everything to that traveler. Now this happened three times.
Allah.
They could have thought to themselves, they are saying, we just got this food for ourselves, it's enough for our own family, why, how can we feed it to others? Yet they had their priority of themselves over
were the other people as well. So they thought that, no, these people have come to us, let's feed them, Allah will feed us. And what happened, Alhamdulillah Azawajal, this is why, you know, when we talk about the Ahlul Bayt, Allah Ta'ala, He mentions them in the Quran, the fadail of the Ahlul Bayt. You know, it's not that, you know, why we love and respect the Ahlul Bayt, is because if you look at their waqiyas, their stories, they used to think of other people better than them. They used to think other people were more precious than them. Alaki, we know how precious they were really themselves.
So it's not only obviously the fact that they were close to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they were family, but Allah Azawajal had granted them and gifted them with a great high moral character as well.
Yeah.
You know, Abhisab, this greed and this wealth, it totally destroys us from the inside. And it takes away the peace and tranquility. And there's a very, very famous hadith mubarakah in Sunan Tirmizi Sharif, where Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and I'll read the exact words, two hungry wolves, when set free in a flock of she-goats, do not cause as much harm as the greed of wealth and status causes to one's deen. So it completely destroys your deen, because you are totally immersed in making money, in gaining a status. And you know, with social media these days, I mean, the problem that people have, the depression comes from, is that, you know, you put something on and then they're constantly checking it to see how many likes it's got, how viral it's gone. And if they don't get that many likes, then they get upset. And if they get a few more, and then they read the comment, and our life seems to be dominated by what others think of us,
you know, the other,
how others perceive us. And gosh, you know, when are we going to think that others' perception of us, Hafizab, isn't important? It's what Allah and His Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
You know, there's a story, Harun Bhai, I mentioned it a few times. There was this French photographer, he won the best photography, the best photo of the year. And he was going to get in, but he wasn't there to take it because he was dead. How did he die? Now, the photo that he took was of a young orphan child in Ethiopia. And this child was crawling towards the camps to get some food. And there was a vulture waiting to pounce and take this child away. Now, when this vulture came towards and, you know, grabbed the child in his paws, this guy took a photo of that. Yeah, he took a photo of that, and that photo became the best photo of the year. He got awards, he got a prize and everything, but he wasn't there to collect that prize. Later on, he thought to himself that I was so selfish to take the best photo, I could have saved that child.
Allah.
I could have saved that child, and I didn't. I was so selfish, and he committed suicide. You know, and the thing is, if we look at our lives today, you know, we can help so many people, our own family members, you know, to stand on their own 2 feet, start up little businesses. But what we're worried about is, no, again, if I help them, they might take over me.
But that's the next stage. But I think the way that unfortunately society has crumbled at the moment is that, you know, you're talking about a stage where you go out and you help your relatives financially or give them time. At the moment, we are at a stage, unfortunately, where I'm not prepared to say, Assalamu alaikum. You know, yeah. I'm not prepared to greet others. I don't have time for others. My time is very precious to me because I can earn more money. I can do things for myself. I can do things for my family. And we don't think outside to the extent that I haven't got time. If my sister's not well, or my sister's upset, or my sister's got a problem, I don't have time. When was the last time? A lot of people watching, a lot of viewers of Madni Channel. When was the last time we went along to our brother or our sister and said, okay, Baji, is everything okay? You don't need anything, do you? I've just come around to just check up on you, just to make sure everything. How happy would our sister or our you know, our relatives be, our brother be, if we said that? No other reason.
But the thing is, today we do go to our friends' houses. You know why? Because There's something that I want in return from him.
Exactly.
Yeah.
What be matlab ke liye?
Yeah, matlab hai. Waise you don't want to go. But the thing is, like you said, man, beautifully, we don't get time. You know, when we were younger, our father, our mothers, they used to take us to our parents' house. We used to go to Birmingham, Bradford, Leeds, spend the whole day, stay over our friends. It doesn't happen anymore. Why? Because, you know, for number one, is parents don't have time. We've got aunties, aunts, uncles, brothers, relatives. We've got full khandan, but we've never been to each other's houses. Why? It's because don't get time. You know, I've just come back from work. I'm really tired at home. So our kids don't even know what, you know.
There's a mindset that if I was to turn up to my relatives regularly, you know, it some way lessens me. But in the eyes of Allah and His beloved Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it raises you, especially our bazook. Now, you know, like grandparents, how happy did they come? I had the honor and the privilege of visiting my grandparents yesterday, and we sat there with my children, and yakin karenke, you know, I brought so much happiness to them just by being there. And, you know, it was, and even when, you know, I was thinking of getting up, they didn't want me to get up. They wanted me to stay there.
Alhamdulillah.
And I thought, simply that. But let me ask you this. You mentioned, you know, one relationship there that I want to kind of just dwell upon. If you needed help, and I spent a full day helping you, say you needed to repair your home or you needed to do something to your car, all day, I stood for you in the rain, getting wet, in the cold, and I help you all day. Yeah? And then at the end of the day, your problem's fixed, and then I say to you, can you give me 1 minute? I need your help. And if you turned around and said, no, I haven't got time, how bad is that? Just as an example, look at your parents. They spend their life for you. And today, unfortunately, we're talking about other relatives. When it comes to our parents, who selflessly, you know, they didn't have any greed, you know, they didn't think of anything. They thought of you before everything else. And today, we even think of ourselves before our parents. And when it comes to time, we haven't got time for our parents. When it comes to our wealth, or my money's my money. When it comes to greed and everything else, you know, my property is my property. And it just baffles you that the parents who spent their entire lives, you know, looking after you, you can't even give time to them. Yet today, you know, most parents, they don't want your money. All they need is, you know, at the end of the day, if you went to your parents for 19 minutes a day, Hafsa, and just said, you know, I've come to see you, Amiji, Abaji, how happy would they be, Hafsa?
Subhanallah.
How happy would they be?
They'll be over the moon, mashallah.
And for once, what you've done is you haven't been selfish. You haven't thought about yourself. You've thought about their feelings. And this is the problem. We don't think about others' feelings. There's no, you know, what,
today, nowadays,
mercy is gone, hasn't it?
Nowadays, what it is, yeah, we'll go to our parents, we'll go to our brothers, but what for what reason? Chalo, aaj dil lagi jaise, they'll think I've just been. So that's, again, being selfish, because you want to go only because you want to put your name down.
That you want to get the tick again, yeah. You know?
So, you know, if it, like you mentioned about parents, alhamdulillah, mothers, fathers, their love is, you know, there's no strings tied to it. You know, if you ask any parent nowadays, you're a parent, I'm a parent as well. If someone asks you, well, why are you working so hard? I'm working for my children. So it's not mine. So our fathers, our mothers, if you ask them, what's this for? It's for my children. But when it's your children get something, my house, my car, my some, so everything is mine. You know, like it, in Islam, there's a, you know, this beautiful waqia that a person, he goes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, complains about his father. That my dad, whatever money I give him, he spends that money and he doesn't even tell me. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam calls his father. I'm going to cut it down. Sure. So at the end, when the father cries in front of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ya Rasulullah, ask him, where did I spend this money? On his aunties, on his grandparents, on his mother, on my family. I didn't waste that money. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, being rahmatan lil alameen, he grabbed hold of the son and he says, you and your money belong to your father.
Allah, Allah, Allah.
So what we say, you know, mere paise, my car, my this, my house. If your parents are alive, they are yours, but they are your parents as well. That is why you can't give zakat to your mom and dad. Why? Because that money belongs to your parents.
But again, it's greed, isn't it? I mean, if the two people in the whole of the world that your life should evolve around, you know, you feel in your heart that you cannot give them, or you cannot see them, or you cannot give them time and your money and wealth, there's a disease in your heart, isn't there? Because it was, you know, the example I gave, where I help you all day and you won't give me 1 minute. But that's what we're doing, aren't we?
Gee.
That person right there, as soon as your car, say, you know, we're on a motorway and I come out to help you, and you then get in your car, I've helped you all day to get it ready, and you drive off leaving me there. That's what the children do when they neglect their parents at this age. Because this is the age that they need your care and attention and generosity, and they are more deserving of that than anybody else in the world. Now, how do you define success? How do we define success, Afsab? Who's successful? Give me an example.
You know, if I give you a unpar, you know,
a worldly
example. We look at people with money, with cars, with big house, with fame, with a name, with a good social account, with millions of followers. We think, yeah, these guys are successful. But the same question was posed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya Rasulullah, who is a loser? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, on the day of judgment, a person who comes with good deeds and everything is wasted, people take his deeds away, and he's going to be thrown into fire hell because of the sins of other people. You know, so if you look at it that way, you know, alhamdulillah, azza wa jal, we think that these things are successful. They're not, these things are not, you know, the definition of success. The definition of success, according to the scholars, is someone who leaves this world with their iman is successful.
Let me give you the definition that is written in Surah Hashr, verse 9. Translation from Kanzul Iman. And whoever is saved from the greed of his soul, it is they who are the successful.
Subhanallah.
So the greed of the soul, basically, on all these things, it's just greed, isn't it?
Bilkul.
And it never kind of fulfills. Whether it's money, we're never content.
Ji.
And whether it's, you know, respect in the eyes of the people, we're never content. You know, we're never happy. We want more and more and more. And it's one of these vicious circles that eventually, you know, we think the world evolves around us. Well, there was a beautiful message that was going around once, and you may have seen it, where it said that Kabristan aise logon se bhara para hai jo samajhte the ki duniya mere baghair chal hi nahi sakti. Because the graveyards are full of people who thought that the world can't get on without me. And the reality is that after a few days, people forget and move on.
Yeah.
And you know, the people who are the most closest to you, this is the bitter kind of irony of it, that, you know, the people who care about you, you know, today we don't care about them because of our greed. We ignore, you know, in the greed of wealth. You know, one person said to me, he says, I drive a taxi 14 hours a day. I don't have time to see my children. I said, why don't? Do 10 hours, do 8 hours, but spend 3 or 4 hours with your children. That's more important to them than the money you bring in. Don't let this greed overtake you. You know, they say, who's the richest man in the world? And people come out with all these names. He's got this many billion, and he's got this many billion. It actually isn't. It's actually the richest man in the world is one who's content with what Allah has given him. Whether it's the money you have, whether it's the job you have, whether it's the partner you have, whether it's the children you have, whether it's the car you drive, whatever you have, the richest person in the world who is thankful to Allah in whatever condition.
You know, I was reading a small article about the richest man of his time. Yeah. So what he used to do was, he says that it happened to me 3 times. He goes that I was at the airport, and as I was walking outside, I saw this guy who was selling newspapers. I didn't have enough money to buy a newspaper. So I went up to him and I said to him, you know, can I take a newspaper and pay you later on? And this guy, he was very, very poor. He basically, every penny was what he needed. But he says, no problem, take it. So he goes, it happened to me 3 times. And then this guy became very rich. And he goes, that same airport I landed on. And he goes, I went outside just to see that guy. And the person used to understand, he goes, oh, as usual, I saw him stood there selling newspapers. And he goes, now I am very, very rich. I could afford anything. So he goes, I went up to that guy and I goes, look, you know, I want you to, because, did you remember me? And he goes, oh yeah, I remember you. Do you want a newspaper? He goes, no. I've got a lot of money now, so I've come to give you my money. He goes, when I gave you them newspapers, I needed that money myself. I gave it to you when I needed it myself.
Allah, Allah.
You are giving me this money, you don't even need it. You got so much that this money is useless to you. So that guy, the richest man, he says, I learned a lesson from this person. That when you give some money to someone and you don't need that money, it's a big deal. When you need that money yourself and then you help others, that's what you call a deal. And the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions, Bukhari and Sahih Muslim, none of you will believe until you love for your brother what you love for yourself. That takes selfishness out of a person. What I like for myself, I will like with my brother. And this is what the Sahaba Ikram did when they migrated to Medina. One Sahabi goes, Ya Rasulullah, I've got two wives. I'll divorce one of them and I'll have my brother marrying her as well.
There was a beautiful time when, you know, after one of the battles, the Muslims became rich. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the Muhajir that, look, you can have this money now, and all the wealth that the Ansar had given you, that you can give it back to them. And you know what the beautiful companion said? They said, no, Ya Rasulullah, let him keep both. Let him keep the wealth we've given them and give him the new wealth that's coming to Islam.
We are worried about, you know, other people taking over. You know, if I tell him how to, you know, a lot of people, they say, or business secrets, you can't tell anyone. Why? Because they'll overtake you. Allah Ta'ala is, we don't even trust in Allah then, do we? You know, if someone wants to open an MOT station next to my MOT station, well, my risk is Allah will give me that. Why am I worried about that for?
Do you remember that famous kind of a story where there was a guy who came to a cloth trader and he was going to buy the cloth, and the guy said, you know, don't buy it from me. Go across there.
Subhanallah.
And there's another shop there. And go and buy. You get the same thing. You get it at the same price, but go to him. So he goes there. He asks for the material. He sees the material, and it's the same quality. It's the same price. He gets it, buys it, and he's walking off. And so he realizes, why did the first guy send me there? Why didn't he sell it to me? So he went back to him and he said, look, why? Why would you send me there and not buy it yourself? He said, because I've been watching all day. And I've had a lot of customers, and I've, alhamdulillah, made enough money to keep my family happy. But I was watching that nobody had gone to him. He's got a family to feed as well. And that's why I sent you across there.
That's what you call ghamay ummat, don't you? Love for the other people.
This is the level that our pious predecessors left for us. This was the moral, the character that they left for us. You know, today, it's all about me and my family. No, what Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us was the bigger picture. You need to rise above this. You know, and you need to think greater.
This is why Amir al-Sunnah says, you know, when you're in your little home, yeah, you just around your four walls, you think now everything is fine. You just need to go out and see what's happening to the ummah. You know, you need to go out and see. No, but we're not even talking about going out to other countries. In the UK, there are so many people that are living rough on the streets. How have we helped them, benefited them? There are so many Muslims who are on the street living rough. You know, as a Muslim, should we not be going and helping these people? And I've seen it, you know, when you want to have a barbecue at home, yeah, you want to have, you know, your whole family is there, you want to give a barbecue to them. But when we give to a poor person, it might be just a few pennies and pounds.
Yeah?
So that just tells you that, you know,
when we go to the mosque.
You know, just imagine if, even in the masjid, in the masjid, you know, Maulana Sahib was doing a bayan and he goes, look, you know, when you are throwing that pound in the bucket, it's making a noise. You know, masjid mein awaaz nahi aani chahiye. So instead of people thinking, chalo, yaar, notable, you know, throw a pound. What they did was the committee members, they put a form underneath so that if they do throw the coins, they won't make a noise. Yani people still don't understand what Imam Sahib really meant. He meant don't throw coins in, throw pound notes in so it doesn't make a noise.
In today's, you get that a lot in the mosques, yeah. And it kind of baffles me because, you know, today when you give your children a pound, they won't take it. They'll say, you know, we want a note. And yet when we go to the house of Allah Azza wa Jal, we're that greedy, and it is greed in the subconscious, where we'll take all the loose change and we'll think we're doing a big deal. You know, we've got a handful of change, it might be £3, but we're doing that, yeah? Why? Because we cannot bring our heart to actually give a note. I was up, there was a very pious man, and somebody said to him, why has Allah Azza wa Jal created people in different forms? Because there's that great hadith in Mubarakah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which says, you know, if a man had two valleys of wealth, he would still wish for a third. For nothing can fill the belly of the son of Adam except for the sand of the grave.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there was this Buzurg Rahmatullah Alayhi, and somebody said to him, why has Allah Azza wa Jalla created people in different forms? So some are wealthy, some are poor, some are rich, some are ill, some are healthy, some are black, some are white, some have more able, more skilled. Why? Why all these different conditions? And the Buzurg Rahmatullah Alayhi were very, very clever. And what they said was, actually, the secret behind it is that Allah Azza wa Jalla wants to see who in what condition is grateful to me.
Subhanallah.
The one I've given wealth to, is he grateful? The one I've not given anything to, is he grateful? The one I've given health to, is he grateful? The one I've not given any health to, he's ill, is he grateful? And today, the sad thing is, that we have got, that Allah has granted us the wealth, but we're ungrateful. Allah has granted us health, and we're ungrateful. Wealth, health, all these things. And we don't appreciate these blessings of Allah, yet we get more greedy.
You know, there's a Qandisi Amir al-Islam mentioned in Madani Muzakara. Sometimes people think, I'm not greedy, I'm not like that, may to Allah raj, what if I say, Amir al-Islam, he mentions that when you do put that note inside the masjid box, is it not the tattered one, the screwed up one that we put in and we keep the new one to ourselves? That is a sign of greed. Why can't you put the best, spanking new note inside the dabba? Why that crushed and creased one inside there? That just proves to you that you have that, love of the wealth. And there's a very beautiful verse in the Quran. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned this as well. Innamal mu'minuna ikhwa. All Muslims are brothers. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says that, share your wealth with other people as well. Now that, this is where we can talk about the money and everything else as well. Knowledge as well. Sometimes you don't wanna, what you know, you don't wanna pass it on to others, because if he finds out, then people will go to him and they will come to me as well. So again, if we look at our lives, judge yourself. Sometimes I always think, sit back. This is why Amir al-Sunnah has given us that time for Ghor wa Fikr. Think to yourself, fill in your Madani Namaz card and just ask yourself this. We need to ask a question to ourselves as well. How am I selfish, or am I, alhamdulillah, azawajal, doing as much as I can for the Ummah? You'll get the answer.
Well, we're in this rat race, aren't we? And it's just about me, and I'm the most important entity on the surface, as if the world evolves around me. And it's time to think, because this race to gain wealth, because that's the reality, isn't it? That's it. Everybody evolves around this money. And yet, Amir al-Sunnah Dhanva Qadmar Ali writes, and there are different books which mention this, and it's a very famous vaqia. The guy who was from the Bani Israel and is very, very wealthy. Very wealthy, and his du'as were always answered. So he prayed in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal, he was answered. Balam Bawra,
yeah.
And the people came to him, and they said, why don't you, because your prayers are accepted, why don't you make du'a against Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, the amazing, the superb prophet of Allah Azza wa Jal. And initially he wasn't up for this, but when they offered him wealth, he was rich anyway.
Yeah.
But when they offered him wealth, it was the greed. And what the greed did is, he became wicked because of the greed. And he made the intention to utter a blasphemy against the Prophet of Allah. And when he opened his mouth, he actually, the words came out against himself as well. And then his tongue came out, and he was destroyed. It was almost, I think the glorious Quran describes him, gives an example of a qalb, a dog. Because his tongue was out. And who was he? He was a rich, wealthy man who was successful, and so successful in the court of Allah that his prayers were accepted.
Indeed.
And yet, the greed destroyed him to the extent that he was left with nothing. And this is where we are. Where are we going? The grave, the coffin, we don't have long, we only have a few minutes left, but the grave, you've cut the coffin, does it have any pockets?
No.
Some side pockets you're supposed to stash some money in.
Nothing at the moment.
To stash some gold coins in, or some gold biscuits as they do in Dubai, Or, in the actual grave, is there a little safe where I can take my money with me, take my car keys with me, Nothing?
Nothing, no.
So what's going to go with me then?
Nothing.
Nothing? At all?
They talk about Sikandar Azam, don't they, that he left his hands outside the coffin, that I'm taking nothing with me.
But after we come into this world, and we don't have any clothes on. When we leave, we've got three pieces of cloth. So is that it? I've spent all my life working and toiling and, 14 hours a day and earning money and building houses and everything else and building my bank balance. And is it really three pieces of cloth I've been working for?
Allah Ta'ala, He mentions in the Quran about these successful people. I think we're running out of time. This last words of the Quran. And those who came after them, saying, our Lord, forgive us and our brothers who preceded us in faith, and put in our hearts resentment towards those who have believed. So, our Lord, indeed you are kind and merciful. Yani, this is the sign of a true Muslim, that he even makes dua for his people who have passed away before him.
Well, there's two things, Professor. One is that You know, I'm going to answer the question I kind of asked. It was a rhetorical question. We aren't only in this world to gain 3 pieces of cloth. It's much more than that, because when you came into this world, you came in with a book of deeds.
Yeah.
And that book of deeds will go with you. And how you fill it is up to you.
Yeah.
And I'm going to come back. The last thing I'm going to say is what you said at the beginning. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cried for this ummah. Because Akka set the standard for what our character should be and showed us what it should be. And the question is this. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cried for us in our love. When was the last time that we cried in the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Or we tried to spend our lives pleasing Allah and His Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? You know, the most dominant thing in our lives, views of Madin Channel, shouldn't be our desire for wealth or status in society. No. It should be the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal and what Allah and His beloved Habib think about us. Let's change our lives. Let's do something constructive. You know, 99.9% of the world is lost in this greed of wealth and status and this pride and arrogance. Let's not be of those people. Let's be of those people who, for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, help others, are nice to others, beautify their character in accordance with the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, today we've talked about selfishness and how to fight this disease of the heart. Stay with us, keep watching Madani Channel. Sallu alal Habib.
Sallallahu ta'ala
ala Muhammad sallallahu
alayhi wa sallam.
Let your heart shine bright. Let us